Is there anyone that fails? Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small? 'Cause when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I know they'll soon discover that I don't belong. So I tuck it all away, like everything's okay. If I make them all believe it, maybe I believe it too. So with a painted grin, I play the part again, so everyone will see me the way that I see them. Are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeple, with walls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain? But if the invitation's open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. Is there anyone that's been there? Are there any hands to raise? Am I the only one who's traded in the altar for the stage? The performance is convincing, and we know every line by heart. Only when no one is watching can we really fall apart. But would it set me free if I dared to let you see the truth behind the person you imagined me to be? Would your arms be open, or would you walk away? Would the love of Jesus be enough to make you stay? Are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeple, with walls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain? But if the invitation's open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on a stained glass masquerade. Plastic people under shiny plastic steeple, with walls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain. But if the invitation's open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. Open to every heart that has been broken, maybe then we close the curtain on a stained glass masquerade. Is there anyone that fails? Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small?
Thank you, brother. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew with me this morning. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll be in Luke chapter 4, we'll be in Mark chapter 1. Some of the places that we'll be this morning, but those scriptures that I just gave you are going to kind of be some comparisons we're going to look at and kind of see a little bit of the difference between Matthew 4, Luke 4, Mark chapter 1. I think the big thing about that is something that we'll look at it in a minute, but Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Today I want to talk with you about 40 days. A lot can happen in 40 days, amen, or oh me. You can have a birthday in 40 days, can't you? How many of you have had a birthday sometime within the last 40 days? Let me see your hand. Really? Well, happy late birthday to you guys, or happy early birthday to you guys, whichever it is. But I'm glad to see that you're still having those things. You can fall in love in 40 days. How many of you did it take 40 days or less to fall in love? I'm the only one, a few others. All right. I like that. So a lot of things can take place within this 40-day period. You can get a lot of things accomplished. I mean, you can, if you really set your mind to it, anything can happen within a 40-day period, can it? Really, anything can happen. And we realize this when we look at the Scripture, because it was with the Scripture that we see a lot of things going on biblically. There's 146 times throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that 40 is mentioned some way or another. So it's very impactful number. And we're not going to talk about numerology or anything like that this morning, but I want you to think about 40. I want you to think about scripturally how in the Old Testament that when corruption had broken loose on the face of the earth, that God had been preparing Noah to build an ark, and he got that ark built after about 120 years, and then it began to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you remember that story, how it rained for 40 days and 40 nights? What happened because it rained 40 days and 40 nights? What happened? I want to see if you were paying attention to that story. It flooded, didn't it? Listen, it snowed and iced a little bit last week, and then yesterday it rained, right? Yesterday it rained. So with this rain and the melting of the ice, our carport flooded with water. No, not exaggerating. It flooded. When I tell you it flooded, if you got out of the car, it was almost up to your ankles in water. And so we had to get out there with our little broom. There's a drain, but the drain was not prepared for the amount of water that happened. And so I can only imagine it raining for 40 days and 40 nights when my house, the garage, began to flood just after yesterday. Can you imagine being there in the time of Noah and hearing all of the sermons that he preached as people would go by? The testimony of him building the ark for 120 years was probably testimony enough. Of course, a lot of people just thought he was a crazed fool until it started raining for 40 days. Jonah's another guy, 40 days. I don't know if you remember this, but after he was spit up on the beach at Nineveh, for 40 days he went to Nineveh and he preached the gospel for 40 days. That's a pretty significant number, because as you look at Scripture, there's a lot of mention about 40. We want to go on and fast forward to the New Testament. Now we get to the New Testament. There are a whole lot of other things in the Old Testament that deal with 40. Elijah dealt with 40 and some other things. A lot of things dealing with 40. But when we get to the New Testament, Jesus has a magnificent experience for 40 days. I say magnificent. When you're in the middle of 40 days, sometimes, friends, it can feel like the world is closing in on you. Amen or oh me. You know what I'm talking about. Well, for Jesus, he's here. He had just been baptized. It's an amazing story. We're going to read it in just a minute. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist. He comes up, and the Scripture says that he is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. He's driven by the Spirit. And so here it is in Jesus. He enters into the wilderness where he's going to go without food. He's going to begin to fast. He's going to pray. He's going to talk with God. He's going to communicate. And what he's doing is he's trying to figure out what the rest of his life is going to look like going forward. He's really trying to examine himself. He's trying to prepare himself, because I want to tell you, he was up against a wall, if you know what I mean. I mean, he understood what was just about to take place in his life. He understood the consequences. And this 40 days was a time of preparation. And so our sermon today, I want you to begin to see this. The 40 days now between, 42 days between today and Easter Sunday. King Jesus goes into Jerusalem triumphantly on a donkey 40 days from now. We're celebrating that. And so I want you to begin to think about the time that you and I have between today and the time you and I have between Easter Sunday. 42 days. 40 days. Very, very relevant to what I want to share with you today, because I'm believing with all of my heart that God is going to prepare His people, if we'll allow Him to, from today to Easter Sunday. I'm excited about the opportunity, guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm excited about the potential. I'm excited to see what God is going to do from this Sunday until Easter Sunday. So I'm going to tell you, if you're excited, if you're ready for that, then God is going to take First Baptist Church on a journey. And we'll only know at the conclusion of this 40 days what that journey will consist of. But I'm excited about the opportunity. So here's what we're going to look at. I want you to think about this. Between today and Easter, we look at this past Wednesday was Lent Wednesday. The beginning of Lent, Ash Wednesday. The beginning of Lent. And this actually started about the 6th century, sometime in the 6th century. You're going to hear me say 6th century again in a little bit, talking about something else. But I don't want you to get the two confused, because it's pertinent that you understand. Sometime around the 6th century, this Lent began to take shape for the believer. Biblically, what happened, we believe, is through the Scripture, we're able to see from Matthew chapter 4, then Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, and then from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. We began to see the outline of something very, very significant that took place in King Jesus' life. And that, again, that was the temptation in the wilderness, that time where He had gone and He had fasted and He had prayed and He had spent time preparing for His ministry. And in the early church, they began to see the significance of that. What they began to do is, from that time on, they began to prepare people that 40 days before the resurrection, that 40 days before Easter, the early church saw that it was such an important thing that they actually began to prepare new believers for baptism. Isn't that neat? They began to prepare new believers for baptism. And so here's the challenge for First Baptist. And then we're going to get started with our message in just a minute. From today on, I want you to know that Easter Sunday, First Baptist Church is going to celebrate baptism. So if you're here this morning and you understand the significance of baptism, maybe you've never been baptized, I want you to come and meet me at the front of the altar at the conclusion of our service this morning. Maybe there was a time in your past where you were baptized, but you know for a fact that you were not saved. And so we want to help you move forward in that relationship with King Jesus. And the greatest joy for a new believer is to follow the example of Jesus through baptism. And so Easter Sunday, we're going to have baptism. And I'm excited about that, because I believe God is going to do great things. I already know that there are some children. I already know that there's probably a couple of students. But I want to talk to you adults this morning, because it's important that we get baptized after we get saved. And sometimes we get these confused, right? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So Easter Sunday, we're going to have a baptism Sunday. I want you to begin to invite people for our Easter service. I'm excited about Easter service. For the first 2 weeks preceding Easter, I'm going to talk about, we're going to look at that prodigal son story. So I've got working on this three-part sermon series about the prodigal. And it's going to culminate Easter Sunday. A little bit unorthodox, a little bit different. But let's face it. What God has called us to do as a church, what God has called us to do as individual believers, is tell our story, give our testimony, pour into the lives of others, so that they too might come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so we're going to prepare people by proclaiming the gospel. We're going to try and pray that God would save. We're not going to try and pray. We're going to begin to pray that God does a mighty, magnificent work from now until Easter. Here's the thing, guys. We can't stop when Easter gets here. So I'm excited to see what God is going to do. Now, this morning, I want to see how God is going to change your life. I want to see how God is going to speak to you. I want to see what God begins to do today in your heart. We've got this outline. There are really about three things that I want to submit to you this morning. So with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Let's read. This is after Jesus' baptism. Remember this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." It would have been hard for me to have done. I'm going to be honest with you. 40 days I've gone hungry, and the tempter comes, and he's packaging something in a very brilliant way. He knew Jesus was hungry. He said, "If you're really the Son of God," that's very, very impactful. That could be life-changing, could it not? Because one thing I want to share with you about the tempter is he always comes at the most opportune time for him to succeed. So here it is. But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him again, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All of these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan." Oh, you've heard it said this way before maybe. "Get behind me, Satan." You ever heard that? "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today in the matchless, most marvelous name of King Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we pray that you would show us through your word this morning the importance of 40 days, the life change that can happen in 40 days. Lord, we know that we can fall in love in 40 days. We know that we can get married in 40 days. So many things can take place in our lives in such a short amount of time. Lord, I pray that in the next 40 days, you carry us on a journey that is mind-blowing. Father, that you show us things that we can't fathom seeing. And Father, to you and you alone will we give honor and glory because we believe that you're going to do great things. And Father, in that, we ask that you and you alone be honored and glorified. So speak to our hearts today. Father, penetrate those cold stone facades that we have built up against you. Father, I pray that there just be that penetration today that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, that we would have the wisdom to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you think about it, it takes typically about 20, 21 days. There's a few days there, one way or another, that is debatable about creating a habit. I can create a habit in less time than that. How many of you can probably create a habit, good or bad, in much shorter time than 40 days? Can't we? We're good at those things, aren't we? Here's one of the things that I've tried to do all my life. I have bitten my fingernails. And so I try. I'm going to not bite my fingernails for a few days. I'm going to try and make it a habit. For a while, I was at the gas company. I carried some fingernail clippers in my pocket. I saw another guy there. Name was Randy. He carried a pair in his pocket all the time. And so I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to carry these fingernail clippers in my pocket. And if I have the temptation to bite my fingernails, I'm just going to take these clippers out of my pocket and I'm going to clip my fingernails. So it went really well for a little bit of time. What happened is one day I was underneath a house running some pipe to a heater or a set of logs or something. I don't remember. But I rolled over on the side on those fingernail clippers. And it dug into my leg in such a way that I decided at that point I would no longer keep them in my pocket. So I took them out of my pocket. I didn't carry them in my pocket anymore. Lo and behold, a few days later, what happened is I realized that my fingers needed to be bit. And instead of me reaching into my pocket and me pulling out the fingernail clippers and taking care of the nasty that was there, I just simply put it in my mouth. I'd spit the dirt. I know this is wonderful vision for you. But I'd chew on them a little bit. I'd spit that dirt out, and I'd get that nail off. And, man, I'm trying to manicure them with my teeth and my other fingernails. And so I was back at biting my nails again. So it's a habit. So what do you think I need to do in order to be able to break that habit? I'm going to tell you. I need to focus on the issue, right? I need to spend time thinking about it. I need to plan. This is what I'm going to do in order to break this bad habit that I have. And so we're going to get to the scripture this morning, and we're thinking about 40 days and the significance of that 40 days, especially in the life of Jesus, some things that began to take place. So listen to Matthew chapter 4, and then I'm going to turn to Mark, and then I'm going to turn to Luke. But the first thing is you think about this, there's one thing that I want to kind of share with you. I want you to get this. What this 40 days meant for Jesus was it was a time for examination and preparation. That's what this 40 days was for. It was a time of examination and preparation. It was not for naught. It wasn't for nothing. There was a reason behind this madness for him to fast and pray for 40 days. And it was a time of examination and preparation. So here we are, and we began to see this, and the scripture says this: after he was baptized, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. All right, so there he is. He's going, and it says he was led up. We're going to look at something in Luke in just a few minutes, or Mark in just a minute. Turn to Mark with me, chapter 1. Just turn there with me. Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The scripture says this. Right after his baptism, it says this: immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. It's significant. It's significant. He was there. He was tempted, it says, for 40 days, but he was drove in the wilderness. Luke chapter 1. Turn with me. Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Just keep them in order. Luke chapter 1. And I want you to see a lot of similarities between Matthew and Luke, but there's some difference. And so here, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4. Forgive me. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and following. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. The one thing I want you to see is that at the end of his baptism, he was raised up. We know from the scripture that the Spirit descended upon King Jesus like a dove, in the form of a dove. This was the inauguration, if you will, for the beginning of his ministry. It was a marvelous time. He was giving himself as an example by which you and I were to follow when it comes to baptism. But then the scripture does a wonderful, marvelous thing. God is so good. He tells us, listen, this is really ultimately what took place. God drove God into the wilderness. That's amazing, isn't it? God drove God into the wilderness. Here it is, we see through the scripture that Jesus is the one that had been baptized. Who is Jesus? God in the flesh. And then we see, we know from the scripture, that the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We remember that. So there is the reference of the Father. There's Jesus, God the Son. There's the Father speaking from heaven. And then after his baptism, when he comes up out of the water, God the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. He didn't have a choice in the matter, literally. He was driven. It means that he was so under the control of God, if you will, God being under the control of God. That's amazing, isn't it? But he was so, stand up, let me just follow me for a minute. He was so overcome by the Spirit that he was literally driven into the wilderness. You stay over here in that corner. That's because that's your wilderness. No, you can go sit down. Thank you, brother. But do you see? It was literally what happened. God drove God. Can you imagine that? That's an amazing picture in and of itself, isn't it? But then while he is out there, the scripture says that he was tempted by the devil. So we go out there and we can begin to put these together. We begin to see he goes out there. There's a reason. And he's going out there to examine his life. He knows who he is. He's already done some wonderful things. He's left his parents once at the temple. He stayed there at the temple. He goes into the temple at about 12 years old and he teaches those who are in the synagogue. Can you imagine it being one of his brothers or sisters or growing up as one of his neighbors or one of his best friends and playing a game? Can you imagine playing hide and seek with Jesus? So he's standing right here in the middle of the road and he's just invisible. And everybody's running by. Maybe he probably, I don't know. I'm just going to say God's got a pretty good sense of humor. He called me to preach. Pretty good sense of humor. Amen? Come on now. Thank you. All right, so here's Jesus, and I'm guessing, I don't know, you know, I wasn't there, but, he's can't be seen. So everybody's running by Jesus, and so he's just, somebody comes by and trips right over that foot. Can you see him doing something like, I can. I see him walking with the disciples, and him taking a rock underneath his toe, and in between his toe and his sandals, and thumping it, and hitting the back of one of them in the head. That'd be fun to be able to experience that. But here he is at the inauguration, kind of the beginning of his ministry, and he's driven, God driving God out into the wilderness to be tempted. But while he's out there, the purpose is so that he can examine his life, so that he can prepare. So he's examining, his self-examination. I can't imagine some of the conversations God the Son had with God the Father during that time. Can you? I can't. It's something that my mind can't fathom. But God having a conversation with God, what must that sound like? And King Jesus is out there and he's with the rocks and he's on his face and he's on his knees and he's preparing himself for the ministry that was about to take place. And so here it is. This is what the scripture says. I want you to think about this because in our lives, you and I are going to experience the same thing. I promise you, if you enter into a time, a 40-day journey where you're focusing on God, you know, there's this book called The Purpose-Driven Life. You know, it really takes you on a 40-day journey. You remember that book, right? I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart, if you decide that you're going to enter into a time, a 40-day time period with God, you're going to be taken on a journey. But why would you do that? Why would you submit yourself to such punishment, if you will? Why would you commit yourself to that kind of life-changing transformation? Because you believe, just as Jesus did, that he has something special for you in your life. That you're not just to sit in the pew week after week as we so comfortably do, but God has a higher purpose for you as a believer. But there's going to be some challenges along the way. If you decide that you're going to begin to examine yourself, you have to do this by withholding something that you really enjoy from yourself. Maybe it's bread. For 40 days, you're going to fast from bread. I don't know what that looks like for you, but you're examining yourself. What is it in your life that keeps you from being in the place God desires for you to be? Maybe it's a good book. Maybe it's television. What is it that keeps you from being where God desires for you to be? Here's what you need to do. You need to cut off from it for 40 days. Say, for 40 days, I'm committing. I'm going on this journey with you, God, to see what you're going to do in my life, to see what you're going to do in our church's life, to see what you're going to do in this community's life. I'm going to enter into it for 40 days. I want to tell you, you better get ready. Not trying to scare you away from it. I want to encourage you to do it, but you better get ready because the devil's coming. He's going to tempt you in every way you can imagine. He's going to hit you right in the sweet spot. It's going to be placed right there before your eyes. But let me encourage you. See, we've got to decide, friends, whether we want to honor God with our lives or whether we want to honor the world with our lives. And we've got to make a decision, and then we've got to stand up. You students, you heard that yesterday, didn't you? About being called out and standing out for the glory of God. And that's what we need to do as a congregation, friends. I think Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that's what you guys talked about yesterday, isn't it? It's a marvelous, marvelous scripture. It talks about not being conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's the desire God has for us. So I believe that we take this 40 days and we allow God to transform us. We allow God to change us. We examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before we enter into the Lord's Supper, you remember that text, right? Examine yourselves. Examine. We have to examine ourselves. We have to make sure. And then so Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 says this. For anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, we do this occasionally. I'm guilty of it. Oh, hey, look at me, look at me. Yeah, we do. We like to be seen occasionally. It's honest, right? So the scripture says if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. Wow. So Cameron, you've got to examine yours. Austin, you've got to examine yours. You see? You have to examine you. I have to examine me. So I'm entering into this 40-day fast. I have not made my mind up exactly the direction I'm going yet. But I'm entering into this 40-day fast. It may be complete removal from television. It may be my favorite show that comes on Monday night. It may be my favorite show that comes on Tuesday night. It may be my favorite show that comes on Wednesday night. It may be just abstaining from those things specifically. If you're a student, I want to go on and say this. I'm just going to call it out. It may be that you abstain, listen to me, from sexual activities. I'm just there. Listen. So it may be that that's what you do. Adults, it may be that you do the exact same thing. I don't know that area that you really need to focus on, but there's an area for 40 days that you need to focus on and surrender it completely to King Jesus. But know that you're going to be tempted in every way possible. And the only way that you're going to succeed is this. So you enter into it with a time of examination, self-examination and preparation. You prepare through prayer. Amen. Amen. So it's also this 40 days, this journey, it also has to be a time of prayer. Friends, oh, that we would fall on our faces before God Almighty. Oh, that we would spend time communicating with Him, but shut up long enough to hear Him speak to us. Oh, that we would be in such a place that we understand that God is directing and guiding and moving in our lives in such a way that He receives honor and glory. Oh, for that to happen. For that to happen, you've got to talk to God. You've got to spend time. When King Jesus was here in the wilderness, we see He's going out there and He's going to be tempted by Satan. He's led by the Spirit. God leads God out in the wilderness. We see this. And in the wilderness, He is tempted by the devil. What is the only way for anyone to be able to remove themselves from the ways of the devil? Prayer. There is no other way for you to succeed. I promise Satan is stronger than you are by yourself. Satan has all the moves. He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what to say. He can whisper it into your ear. He can deceive you in such a mighty way that temptation no longer is just temptation, but you cross that next line into sin. He is so good at deceiving the church. Oh me. He's good at it. He's been doing it since He was cast out of heaven onto the earth. And you're thinking, but I've never seen Him. Yes, you have. You've looked Him right in the eye before. Right when that temptation is right there before you. I'm telling you, it's the devil. You may not know exactly what He looks like, but He's not something with sharp, fangy teeth and a long, pointy, pitchforked tail. That is not the devil. He comes in the form of a brilliantly beautiful deception. And He's going to deceive you. And he's going to tempt you. And he's going to try and draw you away. So when you enter into this 40-day journey, this wilderness experience, it's you examine yourself. Are you strong enough to do this? Can I commit? Can I be prepared? And I say, yes, you prepare yourself by communicating with God, not on your own strength, but under the absolute authoritative power of King Jesus. You will be successful. And so the scripture says, I love this, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, if my people who are called by my name. Wow. I'm that part of the my people. I'm just going to tell you. Amen? You as God's people, through the blood of Jesus, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. We would just humble ourselves. What do you mean, preacher? Humble ourselves. You know, sometimes we don't pray because we don't know how to approach God. Sometimes we don't pray because we just don't want to. Sometimes we don't pray because we think we can handle it all by ourselves. So it's the idea that we just sit down. We sit down and we begin to just pour our hearts out. Have you ever done that? By people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Friends, we've got to slow down long enough to be burdened for the things of God. You know, I think that we're moving so fast, we're so caught up in what's going on next, that we're not spending enough time with God to be able to hear from Him, to know what His call and challenge upon our life is for the very next step that we have to take in the Lord. And so we've got to just slow down, spend some time seeking God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew chapter 6. But it's about understanding your position and positioning yourself with King Jesus. You've got to understand that, because if you leave yourself alone, you are going to be trampled over by Satan. Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes even that one man is easily, I'm going to have to paraphrase because I can't quote it exactly, but one is easily overtaken. Two has more strength, but then the power of three, the yoke is not easily broken. And so you're going to have to get in line with God, and you're going to have to allow God to give you the strength that you need in order to defend yourself against the wiles of the devil. So Ephesians chapter 6 comes into play. I think we talked about that for just a little bit last week. And so I want you to understand, you got to approach God through prayer. You got to communicate. Humble yourself in such a way that you desire to spend time with God and His Word. Because I've shared with you just a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, really it's not about you. It's about God's desire for you. Can I just say that? Because it's the truth, amen? Well, what do you think God's desire for you is? It's that you would glorify Him with every breath you have. I don't know exactly what that looks like for you, but one thing that I do know is that it's about the testimony that you have to turn the lost soul to pointing them in the direction that they see Jesus through you. So how are you going to do that? So here's one of the ways. You humble yourself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Does America need some healing? Can I get an amen? Come on, please. Amen. Yeah. So do you have a relationship that needs some healing? Amen. Is there some struggles that you're having financially? Does it need some healing? Yeah, amen. Are there some things that you really need to work on in your life? Amen. There are. And the key to that is humbling yourself and communicating with God, taking it to Him day after day, opportunity after opportunity. You pour your heart out to God. Do this. God is going to bless, I believe. Tell you about the idea of prayer. I told you something about the 6th century Lent actually taking place by an Italian monk. He kind of came up with the idea of Lent about the 6th century, like 678 or something like that. You'll have to look. I can't remember the exact date, but somewhere in the early 16s AD, there was another guy who wanted to help with the idea of prayer. I think I've got these dates actually backwards. They both happened in the 6th century. I think Lent actually took place first, and then the idea of prayer, the pretzel. How many of you enjoy a good pretzel occasionally? Flour and water and salt. That's just about it. So how it came about, they would roll this dough out, and the monk actually that created it where it's to remind the Christian to pray and to communicate with God. One hand on one shoulder, the other hand on the other shoulder. And it's the idea of humility and communicating and praying to our God Most High. So next time you look at a pretzel, I want you to look at it completely differently than you've ever seen it before, to remind you that you need to be people of prayer. So now I want that to become your best, favoritest, most wonderful, awesomest snack. So for you English teachers, please don't beat me up for that. The last thing, really the most important thing that I want to share with you is this. This 40 days, when we enter into it, it's a time for examination and preparation, a time for prayer. But let me just share this with you. It's a time to share the hope in Jesus Christ. When you look at the scripture here, each one of these instances, each one of these stories, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each one of these, he was driven into the wilderness. He was tempted by Satan, but the reason was for him to examine himself and to prepare himself for the ministry that God had created him for, that God had called him for. I guess God doesn't create God, right? He's God. But it's the ministry that he was placed on earth for, the reason he stepped down out of the glories of heaven. And so he's communicating and he's spending time there and he's talking to God the Father. He's empowered by God the Spirit, and here he is, God in the flesh, and he's standing toe-to-toe, face-to-face with the most despicable created thing that has ever walked the face of the earth. Yeah. And so here he is, and I want to tell you that Satan has a lot of power, but he has no power over the believer who has surrendered to the power of Jesus and communicates to him on a regular basis and listens to God for God to communicate to you in return. He has no power over you. You just have to get to a point in your life where you're constantly in that atmosphere of prayer. Pray continually, Paul said. And so he was going into the wilderness to examine himself and to prepare for the ministry that he was about to enter into. For you, you enter into this time so that God can be glorified in your life. That's the ultimate goal, okay? The ultimate goal then is for you, a time for you to begin to share the hope found in Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to understand, this is God's desire for you, is that you glorify him with the life you live, with the words you say, with the actions that you involve yourself with. This is God's desire, that in everything you say, that in everything you do, it's about pointing people to Jesus. Whether it be from the words that come out of your mouth, whether it be by the hands you shake, the hugs you give, or the groceries that you carry out to a car, it's about telling people about the transforming power and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because I want to tell you, God is my witness. As God is my witness, there is no hope without Jesus. None. We live in a world that's looking and searching and hoping for their life to be transformed and changed. And it is not going to happen until they look to Jesus. And you and I are the light in the dark place. You and I are the salt in the earth. So you've seen these stickers that say salty life, right? You and I need to live that kind of life. As believers, you and I need to live that kind of life so that when people see you, the testimony that they see from you is that God really does transform. So here's Jesus. He's out in the wilderness. He's being tempted. He's spending time communicating with God. He's on his knees. He's on his face. He's even laying his head on the rocks that Satan challenges him to turn into food. So here he is, and he's preparing now to enter into the ministry that God placed him on earth to do, so that he could go to the people who were lost and dying and undone, so that he could go to the broken, so he could go to the hungry, so he could go to the poor, so he could go to the Gentile dogs of the world and save them through his precious blood. See, you and I, we've got to taste that just a little bit. Through the blood of Jesus, we know salvation. You don't know the the full story of salvation yet, but you know salvation through Jesus. And so this is a time, this 40 days, it's a challenge, right? Not going to be easy. I want to tell you, listen to me, it's not even going to be fun because you're going to be tempted every which way but loose. And you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to throw in the towel. You're going to give up. You're going to throw your hands in the air. You're going to want to kick your shoes off, put your feet on the table, and you're going to want to do nothing else because you're going to be tempted that much. But I want to tell you what I believe. I believe that we have victory in Jesus. I believe that we enter into this next 40 days knowing, trusting, and believing God to work miracles. I believe that. And so it's a 40-day journey all the way up until Easter Sunday. And then there's going to be another challenge. Don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, God is fixing to do some things. Talking and praying and hoping and trusting that God is going to open this door or that door for us to be able to get out into the community, maybe plant a church over here and do some things over there. I'm telling you, we are no longer going to sit on the sideline as a congregation. We're fixing to get in the battle. It's going to take all of us to do it. And so my prayer is that you join me in this next 40 days praying, seeking God's face. Lord, what is it that you would have us to do? You remember before you ascended into heaven, the last words that he shared with the disciples for you and I today. And it's found in Matthew. And it's about you and I going into all the world. We got to go, friends. We got to tell people about Jesus because he is the only hope. So maybe you're here today and you've heard everything that I've shared. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you understand. Maybe you're thinking, if it's going to be that hard, preacher, I don't want to enter into this. If you don't have a desire to enter into it, then God doesn't want you to. Just going to tell you. This is only for those who are not faint of heart. This is for you who are sold out to the things God has created you to do. And it's going to be a journey. It's going to be scary. It's going to be an opportunity, though, for you to look the devil in the face, smack him, so that he turns and runs. So we even have scripture to back that up. So will you enter this time with me for the glory of God? Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard all of that and you realize you heard me say that we're going to have a baptism Easter Sunday. Maybe you've never been baptized. I want to challenge you. Take this next 40 days and begin to look at your life. Begin to ask God questions about who you are and where you are in relationship to him and where he desires for you to be. Over the next 40 days, it may be even this morning that you realize, well, I've asked Jesus into my heart, but I've never been baptized. And if that's you and you already know that you need to take that next step of faith and you need to come forward and present yourself as a candidate for baptism, I want to encourage you to come this morning. Because it's about stepping out in faith. Water's not going to do anything but get you wet. But it's about stepping out in faith and saying, I have confessed Jesus as Lord of my life, but I want the world to know that Jesus is Lord of my life. And so Easter Sunday, we're going to open with a dynamic, fantastic water baptism. And the goal is to get it done right over here in this building. So it may be in a water trough. That's okay. Water is water, right? So we're beginning to pray and begin to plan and look for those things right now. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. I want to tell you, the first thing that has to happen for you is you've got to humble yourself and realize that you are a sinner separated from God. But that this morning, God desires to draw you near. God desires for you to confess your sin. How many of you mess up on a regular basis? That in and of itself keeps you out of heaven. You know, there's 10 commandments there that we've been given, and some of them, just how many of you have ever worshipped something that was not God? I have. How many of you men have ever lusted after a woman at some point in your life? Just come on. Yeah. How many of you ladies have ever lusted after a man at some point in your life? It's about honesty and you evaluating yourself. How many of you have ever told a little white lie? See, if you've accomplished even one of those, then you're a sinner. And the only way to salvation is through the blood of Jesus. So this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you've not realized that you've sinned, that you've missed the mark, that maybe today God is tugging on your heartstring and His desire is to save you. His desire is to come into your heart, but you need to confess your sin and your need for a Savior first. That's what has to happen this morning. And so we're going to have an invitation time right now. I don't know what God's laying on your heart, but begin entering into this 40-day season with me by coming to the altar this morning. I need you guys to come and join me in this. It's going to be a journey only if you join me in it. And so will you, church, come and join me at the altar this morning and examining yourself in preparation and praying so that we can tell the world about the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And for you who've never trusted Jesus, today is today the day of salvation. You come and speak to me this morning. Brad McDaniel is going to be up here this morning as well. And if you need to come and speak to him, then you come and speak to him. Is Miss Jamie in here this morning? Miss Jamie? Okay, some of you, Melissa, Miss Christie, some of you other children, teachers, I want to just encourage you to come. I don't know what God is going to do this morning, but I'm just trusting that God is doing something. So I want to encourage you to come up here, and we're fixing to have an invitation time. And we're going to be here until the invitation is over this morning. Okay, it may last 30 seconds or it may last 15 minutes. But we're going to trust God to begin to speak to hearts this morning. So I want to ask you guys if you'd just come up and make yourself available. If you need to pray, you pray. But then you make yourself available for these children or for these students who need to come up this morning. And deacons, you do the same thing. I don't know what God's going to do this morning, but I believe in God to unleash His Spirit in a mighty way. Hey, why can't it start today? Why can't it start today? So during this invitation time, I want to ask you, would you come today? Father in heaven, Lord, in the matchless, most holy name of Jesus, we confess that you are a mighty miracle-working God. And Father, that the first miracle for me is when I was born, but it's about you saving my soul. As a young man, you put me in the right place to hear your word, to understand what sin is, to confess my sin, and to invite you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you for forgiveness and for salvation through your Son, King Jesus. Father, I don't know what you're going to do today, but I just ask that you be with those who've gathered, that we take this day and that we commit, that we surrender to entering into a 40-day challenge to trust you, to examine ourselves, to prepare ourselves, to pray, talk to you, so that we can go out into the world and share with the world the hope in Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Father, if there's even one lost soul here today, would you speak to their hearts? Lord, give them the wisdom today to confess their sin. Lord, give them the strength to come forward and speak to me or one of the others who's here. Father, our desire is that you today be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to stand this morning. You come this morning. Flood the altar. Come pray. Join me this morning. Join me and the congregation over these next 40 days. And let's trust God.